Next Wednesday is Valentine's Day, a day when Americans will spend an estimated $20 million on flowers. But most people who send Valentine's Day flowers are buying something they'll never get to see because the lucky recipient lives in another city. NPR's Katzel Levine has some suggestions to make sure that your long-distance bouquet is a good one.
Valentine's Day. I'll bet you're thinking roses. Never mind that a rose is about to cost you nearly three times more than you'd normally pay. It's the thought that counts, which begs the question, what could you be thinking? But never mind, let's say it with flowers and put in an order online. I'll start with a word search. Send roses online, and I get 32,345 results. Taking the path of least resistance, I'll choose the first entry. Pleasing is easy, says the headline. That's the spirit. I'll click on Valentine's Day, and what do I see but a hideous selection of teddy bears and picture frames, plus some very unoriginal floral arrangements, the Big Macs of the trade. Tip number one, if you want any semblance of control over the flowers you're sending and the prices you're paying, make friends with a real live florist today.
If you call on the 14th, I couldn't say what response you'd get.
Florists such as Linda Butler can do 10 times their normal business on Valentine's Day. Tip number two, order early, certainly by this weekend, while florists are still sane.
Monday and Tuesday are going to be just as nuts as Valentine's Day itself. In fact, often the 13th is more horrific for us in the industry than the 14th is.
Butler is head designer at Laurelhurst Flowers in Northeast Portland. She shares a widely held disdain among florists for the impersonality of online ordering, where floral arrangements are reduced to letters and numbers.
I hate it. You're getting these, you know, email messages and these printouts over and over. I want B12, I want B12, I want B12. And it becomes painting by numbers. You're obligated to recreate that thing that you've put on the web, and you end up being a slave to it.
Tip number three, be flexible when you order flowers. Get your florist advice. And consider skipping roses in favor of a sumptuous red tulip display. If it's got to be roses, think pink, says Butler. Think lavender. Get over red.
They're not the ones that are going to last the longest. They're not even going to be the most fragrant, which you hand somebody a rose, what do? They put it to their nose. They don't look at it first. It goes right to the nose. So consider ordering early and ordering another color.
Okay, I'd like to put together something for someone in Washington, D.C. I'm marginally interested in roses. How much am I going to have to spend?
If you're looking at a mixed spring arrangement with a few roses in it, I would say reasonably $50 on the arrangement.
I can't do it for $35.
Okay. Well, most...
Is it not going to say what I want it to say at $35?
What do you want it to say?
I want it to say, you're a good friend and I value you.
Well, you'll have an enclosure card that will, you know, you can write that out.
Okay. Let's go spend $50. Bucks.
Okay.
Tip number four, be prepared to spend at least $15 more than you think reasonable. So here's what I'm doing. Putting together an arrangement here in Portland and taking notes on how to do it. I'll then place a phone order to a florist in D.C. using what I've learned from Linda Butler.
Do you want to try some of the irises?
Gorgeous. There's My goal is not to recreate the same bouquet, but the same feeling in the bouquet, which is turning out to be a rose-less arrangement, informal, unusual, no mums, no gyp, no carns. That's tip number five, the incantation that will protect you from cheap fillers such as gypsophila, or baby's breath, and carnations. I'll say it again, no mums, no gyp, no carns.
Okay, that's nice. It's nice. It's lovely. It's tasteful. Now I need something to just make it a little more, I don't know, slutty.
Okay. We've got some good sort of orangey coral alstromeria.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Fabulous. Okay, I'll take it.
Okay. For $50, the final bouquet in a small blue vase, delicate yellow orchids known as dancing ladies, blue and yellow Dutch iris, coral-colored Peruvian lilies, and a subtle berry accent in coral red. Back home, to call my order to a D.C. florist. Tip number six, if you need the name of an out-of-town florist, do an online search or ask a local florist for a recommendation.
Sandy's Flowers.
Hi there, I'd like to put in an order for Valentine's Day, please.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, I'd like to spend $50.
On flowers.
Okay. And I would like a garden style arrangement. No gyp, no mums, no carn.
Garden style.
Order placed. No surprises, except for the price. My $50 bouquet plus tax and delivery is now $63.50. Which brings us to tip number 7. Choose a florist that offers a 100% guarantee. Although, let's face it, the recipient of your favors is unlikely to say, "Wow, lousy flowers."
Hello?
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Did you get a little something from me this morning?
They're lovely. Do I get to keep them?
Of course you do.
Oh, thank you so much.
So tell me a little something about them. What do they look like?
Well, they're red and purple and pink, and there's some gold things in there. You could identify these things?
Well, I'd give it a shot. If nothing else, I'd call the florist and ask him.
Yeah, well, be sure and tell me what these sticks are. They're meant to be decorative, I'm sure.
Well, listen, I would really like to see what these flowers look like, so I've arranged for a picture of your bouquet to be posted at npr.org, along with a myriad of tips for ordering flowers. Bob, enjoy them.
So that's what all those things were. That's NPR's Ketzel Levine.